Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Paul has a black eye.
It's like a dream or something.
And we can't even enjoy it. Midday 180, weekdays 10 till 2 on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Crew is all here.
Did I just miss something there?
Yeah, there was a promo coming back there. We may need to play it back, or we've got several of them. Hopefully we can rotate in during the day, but might as well laugh at the situation instead of cry. What do you think, Paul?
We're laughing through the crying.
I'm on board with that.
You're on board with that?
I'm on board with the laughing as opposed to crying, but I could tell you a little bit about my sit down yesterday morning too later on.
Oh, I think we should put you on the couch with Dr. Withrow later.
I went to an actual guy with the actual degree.
You don't need a degree, Paul, to help people, and that's what I do.
Dave McGinnis.
I help people.
Dave McGinnis has a degree in ball. We know that.
Banging hats.
He's got his
PhD in one-to-one.
He's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. He's in studio with us every Thursday morning.
Bachelors of what the what.
I have a voicemail from Coach Mack. From the other night for the TCU game, I sent him a text and I said, hey, you watching the TCU game? He calls me, leaves me a voicemail and says, frogs. That's all he said and hung up. I'm never deleting that voicemail, Coach. What's up?
Those frogs have some speed, by the way.
They got
that
some
is a
speed.
Fast football team.
Yeah, they didn't quite have enough in their, you know, loading their pants to be able to take on Ohio State for four quarters but he's going to win a lot of ball games down there, which he's done for a long time. Paul, I'm glad to see you're feeling better, brother.
Thank you. Seriously. I appreciate it. Kind of you.
God bless you, man. That's wow. Okay.
I always thought it would be a player that would knock him in the
No, nobody's going to knock Paul, but I mean, that's just...
I don't know. Check with Darren Bates.
That's just... Bates, he's my guy. He'll never attack you. I'll tell him not to.
I appreciate it.
Put in a nice word. Yeah. No, maybe too late.
Should have checked in with you last year.
Yeah, well, he should have checked me with me before he went in there. I could have helped you.
Coach Mack, in a situation where you have to get creative on offense with the injuries the way they were last week.
Okay.
How do you go into it the next week after showing the creativity on film to prepare for the next opponent where you may not have certain guys available once again?
Well, let's separate creativity from something that you do within the context of what you've already practiced and already done. You know the reason they had to, you know, they went to that Wildcat, first of all, you know, Mike Vrabel knew. Of what their approach would be on the other sideline as far as to the Wildcat. So clearly, you know, a lot of teams have a default defense, all right, when things like that come up. Wildcat, what we used to call the duck, you know, where they spread everybody out unbalanced. A lot of people have huge unbalanced packages. And so a lot of people have default defenses to those things. Clearly, Mike Vrabel knew that the Wildcat would make them adjust during the game on the field. That was huge. I mean, that was really big. And then, I mean, we've already talked about, the fake punt, but you're not going to win consistently in the National Football League always, you know, doing something way out of the context of what you do. Now, that doesn't mean you don't change situationally game to game to game to game. Okay. Now, there'll be some things that they'll put together for Todd Wash's defense, because this defense that they're playing now, this is a different animal than the defense they just played. These guys, at every level, from the defensive line to the linebackers to the secondary, they are perfect for what Todd Warsh wants to do. And this defense that we're facing this weekend, guys, is the genesis of the Pete Carroll from the Seattle Seahawks. You know, this is what this is. I mean, it's a cover three, match and carry type of defense, you know, that is a 4-3 front that can get multiple against the people that you put against it. They will flip their people, strong side, weak side. This is a different look than what we played against last week. So what you're asking me is you've got to do whatever you need to do to win the football game, but you can't go into it every week thinking we're going to trick somebody, because you very seldom. That last week was beautiful. It really was, you know, for a lot of reasons because of where we were. But they'll have something for them, but it'll be within the context of what they've done.
Picking up on that, if it's Gabbert, they're going to have to ask him to do more than they asked him to do in this game. How confident are you, or what do you think about his ability to do more, especially when the corners are as good as these two are?
Well, here's the thing, Paul. And again, if Marcus's hand is not, and again, I don't know exactly when his hand's going to come back, because I don't think anybody does. But here's what you don't want. Let me just start with what you don't want. You don't want a quarterback that has problems gripping, spinning, and throwing the football against these corners, because these corners are some of the best lockdown transition corners there are in the league. You know, you're going to have to probably have Gabbert do more with this. But again, the way to attack this defense is, first thing you've got to do is you've got to be able to establish something on first down running the football, or you've got to get into second and five or less against this defense, because second and seven plus against this defense, with what Todd Warsh does, what he learned from Pete Carroll, what he learned in his, you go second and seven, you know, I've been against this defense for 6 years in the NFC West up there in Seattle. You go second and seven against them, you open up a lot of what they do, bringing some heat.
Give an example of the heat they can bring on second and seven plus that they're not likely to bring on second and five.
Okay, well, the second and five, you've got them in a conflict down that we've talked about a lot, where they've got to play, you know, run and pass. Second and seven plus, what they're able to do, a lot of times what they would do in Seattle, now I've only seen two games of theirs this year, but they will substitute for that Sam linebacker, the strong side linebacker, they'll substitute another safety. They'll bring a safety in, and they've got the safety, you know, they got a couple of safeties that can come down and bring, you know, pressure off of the tight end side or whichever two receiver sides you have. They were known for doing that quite a bit. The other thing they do a lot, Jonathan, they will flip their inside backers. Okay. You know, Telvin Smith is definitely the will linebacker. Miles Jack is the guy that is inside. They will flip those guys, and they'll use those backers for B gap blitzers a lot.
Dave McGinnis in studio with us. He's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. The Titans hit the road this Sunday to take on the AFC South rival Jacksonville Jaguars. Zone coverage begins Sunday at 10 with the lead company countdown to kickoff, and then Mike Keith and Coach Mack have the call on Titans Radio.
If you ever get a chance, by the way, co-host of Coach to Coach with Doug Matthews, if you ever get a chance to listen in to Coach Mack and Doug Matthews telling football stories, I highly advise it. Something you guys mentioned yesterday I want to ask you about.
Okay.
The process of going into a football game and getting together with the coaches and saying, how do we go about winning this game? Whatever the odds are, however difficult it may be, however perfect you have to play, the process of getting that plan together of how we are going to win this game. How much fun is that as a coach? And what do you think that's like this week for this staff as they possibly go down to Jacksonville against this defense with a backup quarterback?
You know, first of all, people ask me, you know, since I've been out, you know, of the in-depth coaching for 2 years, what I miss most. That's what I miss most. I missed most about strategizing and getting a plan together, you know, at the beginning of the week when you start looking and you see what's available to you, and then you start. I mean, that's great, because you gather all your information, you start to put it together, then you start to piece it in with what you have available to you against what you're going to go against. I mean, that part of it, two things, Chad. First of all, that part of it is great. But then when you see it come to fruition like we did last Sunday and you win a ball game at the end of it, there's no better feeling. I mean, there really isn't. This week, looking at it, you know, first of all, you know, hopefully they'll get Taylor Lewan back. You know, that'll make a difference, because against these people, you know, they're going to flip Calais Campbell. They do. They'll flip him back and forth, you know, to different sides. I mean, that front that they have, you know, those guys are unique in the fact, I mean, they have 57 sacks last year, too shy of the team record down there, and they're on that pace again. I mean, these guys are real. So you get Taylor Lewan back. First of all, you got to decide what you can do up front. You decide what you can do up front,
Who's calling you, Dicka?
Yes. Hold on a minute.
That's quite a ring.
Coach, I'll call you back. Okay, the next thing that you have to do is now get your protection plan designed around where you feel like you're strongest, where you can hold up one-on-one, where you're going to need slide help, or where you're going to need chip help, you know, starting with this game plan because of the front. that they have. We were into a little bit of that last week, and you could see them last week, you know, put the two tight ends off the line of scrimmage. If you ever see two tight ends lined up in a 12 personnel, which is two tights, two wides, one back, and they back them off as to where their toes are on the heels of the offensive tackle, that's chip protection. They are in there to help off of the edge, okay? That's, you know, that's – so you decide where you're going to do with that going into this game, because what you can't do in this game, in my opinion, with this team we are playing, you can't let their defense take the game over early. We're going to have to match defense for defense, but you can't let their defense take the game over early.
Coach Mack is in studio with us. Presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coach, you watch a lot of film during the week on the opponent leading up to the Titans radio broadcast. As you broke down Jacksonville, New England, and you just watched Blake Bortles, is that the best you've ever seen Bortles play?
Absolutely, yes. The answer is yes. And two things with that, Jonathan, two things I'll say. It's the best, technically, I've seen him play and production-wise, but it was also the most trust I have seen put in him by a coaching staff during the whole game. You know, and now you can watch it. When you have a defense as good as they have, there are times when you get a two-score lead on somebody, you can shut it down and then just try to eat clock, try to run it, not try to do anything. That's not what they did in this ball game against New England. They kept running their offense, and they kept spinning it and putting it in his hands. That, to me, says two things. When you're looking at it, no sound on it, just watching, you could see the trust that they put in him just by the calls that they were making, and the team responded with it too. And so the answer to your question is yes, but I think it goes deeper than just him playing well.
Have you seen a quarterback with bigger swings in performance than a guy like Blake Bortles? I feel like we're either talking about him throwing four picks or being great from game to game. There's really no in between with him.
You know what though, Chad, let me say this. I've never, well, that's wrong. I've been doing this too long. I've seen a lot of this stuff that go on. But his career particularly, I've never seen such a big swing in public opinion on a quarterback. You know, and some of it, you know, a lot of times perception, you know, is reality in this league. And a lot of times, you know, perceived notions about what goes on. I can just remember him coming out in the combine and vetting him and seeing him. I mean, this guy's a real athlete. I mean, he can run, he can make all the throws, he can do all of those things. I'm not sure with all the changes they had they're very stable down there now within that organization. I mean, he had a lot of changes going on around him too that I think influenced some of that was going on. But to your point, there has been a lot. And I think once public opinion starts getting swayed one way or the other, and then if you have any little misstep, that exaggerates it even more. But I will tell you this, this guy is a good quarterback, and don't go to sleep on his legs. I mean, he is dangerous. And we just got through playing a guy that was so dangerous off schedule that, you know, maybe, you know, is one of the tops in the league. This guy can move the chains too with his feet.
He's got one of the best rushing averages for a quarterback all time.
Thank you, Paul.
I think it's like top five.
Paul, and that's something you cannot, a lot of people think because of his size and stuff, he's going to be like a lawn ornament, like one of those iron deers in the front yard that can't move. This guy can move.
And the thing, going back to the trust they put in him last week, it makes you wonder what would have happened if they keep the foot on the gas in the AFC Championship game against New England in Foxborough. You know, they tried to coast it out during that comeback instead of letting Bortles throw it.
Jonathan, that was real. But the thing that you look at it, and let's just be honest, you know that that was a constant thing in the front of all of their minds in that organization all offseason, all OTAs, mm-hmm. all through training camp. You know that was in the front of their minds. Just like the two games they lost to us last year are in the front of their minds.
They run the ball very well with or without Leonard Fournette. They prefer to have Fournette in there. He's their bell cow. But they actually average, in the three games he's missed throughout his career, they average more rushing yards per game than when he's in there. Why is that?
Well, because people stack the line against Fournette. I mean, people will stack the box against Fournette. Even on down, sometimes where you, these people will take their chances with, and going back to what we just talked about, the perception of what the quarterback and the receiving core was. I mean, even on downs where you would normally think that you would back off and play seven or six in the box, a lot of people, when Fournette is in there, would stack the box knowing that they were leaning on him so much to run it. I mean, that's my opinion, and that's my look at it.
The way Mike Mularkey's Titans were structured just happened to be kind of perfect against the Jaguars and helped produce two wins. Vrabel look at that and say, hey, we need to carry that over, and I don't need to look any different than my predecessor against these guys because it's what works.
Well, also, and Vrabel, you know, played against them twice last year too. I mean, you know, when he was at Houston, he knows this what you have to do against Jacksonville. And really, as I said earlier, Paul, in the first segment, yes, you can look back at, but what this team did last year twice against him was run the football very, very well. Now, the runs weren't exactly, I mean, it wasn't like you were breaking 25 and 30 yard runs right from the jump, but they stayed with it and they kept hitting the wall and finally got it dented in and made it work. But running the football against these people, because you cannot get in a situation where all of those guys up front can get in a track stance and come after you, because they've got people in the secondary and at the linebacker spot in Smith and Miles Jack that can cover. I mean, they can legitimately cover. They're foot athletes. They can cover. And in this day and age in the National Football League, you've got to have guys that can cover in space without grabbing. They've got that.
Coach Mack in studio with us. Harold Landry, he had an impact last week. Bend off the edge. You've mentioned that motorcycle lean. We saw that on full display last week in his first game. It wasn't even the quarterback sack. I know they credited, I believe, to Casey, but he put some pressure on there. And on third down, I noticed that Houston was chipping his way a bit. That shows you the effect he was having.
Well, look, any of those guys that can skim the edge, You're going to chip, because here's what's hard. You play against a power rusher as a tackle different than you play against a speed rusher. You know, you want to quick set and punch a power rusher because they want to come midline on you. But those guys, you got to kick slide pretty quick. And once you got to kick slide pretty quick, and if you're even one step off of a kick slide, somebody that can bend, if a guy can't bend, you can kick slide and still punch him past the quarterback. If he can't bend, if he can bend and lead into your outside hand before you can get your arm extended for that one-handed punch that most tackles need off of a speed rusher, then you can get him. I mean, I've just been around too many of them, you know, to see it. He can do that. They know he can do that by seeing him. Now, they're going to have some answers for that. And then all great edge rushers, bend rushers, Gumby rushers, however you want to call them, they've got to develop counter moves, you know, during the course of their career in this league, because people are not just going to let you skin the edge constantly.
Can you describe how Byard helped Adoree with that interception in the end zone?
Oh, yeah, he was in great position. I mean, he was in great position, and he cut off over the top, you know, where the receiver was going. Now, Adoree on the thing that impressed me more than anything is that there's a lot of DBs in this league that would have, you know, I mean, you always want DBs to be able to hold their water at the top of the route. And what I mean by that is, if you mistime your jump on something like that, you can be in great position and you mistime your jump, then the receiver can still get it, especially a receiver like we were playing there, who is one of the strongest hand catchers in the league. The timing of that jump and the ability, the spatial awareness to track that ball in the air over the shoulder, two-handed. But yeah, the safety helped, because the safety didn't give him a clean release,
right,
clear to the back of the end zone. I mean, it all goes hand in hand. But that was Adoree Jackson is a special athlete, guys. I mean, you've seen him, Paul, out there at practice. I mean, you know what he can do. I mean, just as an athlete. I mean, with the hops and things he has, that was a great play.
This may be unfair. Can he make the leap in year two the way Byard made his leap last season?
Well, look, I mean, you can never predict somebody's going to have eight picks. Okay.
Right.
That's not what you're talking about, John.
Impact.
And I know what you're talking about. But yes, I mean, I think he has already started. You could see it. Look, the first thing is, for a second year player that played a lot his first year, they are so much more confident and so much more relaxed the second year. Not relaxed to the point as to where they're laissez-faire. It's relaxed to the point they understand what they're seeing, they understand what they're doing, and it slows down enough for them. it slows down. What they're seeing slows down enough that they can play faster, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Is this defense missing Avery Williamson in run stopping so far this year?
Well, I don't think. I mean, look, Avery was a good run player, you know. But I think we've got people that can stop the run. You know, you got people that can stop the run, I don't want to ever, you know, denigrate a player at all. Avery Williamson was a good run player. We've got guys that can play the run still.
How much sub Evans for Compton right now? Presuming that Evans knows what he's doing, how much better can they be?
Well, I mean, it just depends on how he progresses. Look, he hasn't played any football at the NFL level yet. He hasn't, you know, now, he was a first-round pick, and he's a first-round pick for a reason. I mean, this guy's a good player, and part of his strengths coming out of the draft, we all looked at it. I mean, this is a downhill thumper guy that can also bring some heat off the edge. He's a first-round pick that's got a lot of ability. Once he gets up to speed, he'll help.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Dave McGinnis, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coach Mack, Kamale Correa, he didn't play many snaps, less than 20. Paul, what, 16 maybe?
16, I believe.
5 tackles on 16 snaps. He had 2 quarterback hits. Pressures. I mean, he was disruptive in that game on limited opportunities. Very good pickup for the Titans defense.
Well, I think it was a great pickup for 2 reasons. First of all, he's an active player. He was an active player in college. I mean, that's what he was. I mean, he was a see ball, get ball guy in college. I mean, he was a chaser, and he was chasing from the opposite side. And that's what he is. He's a high effort player. The other thing that was a good pickup about it, Jonathan, you know, and is this. You got a player that understood the vocabulary of the defense from the jump when he came in. That's what puts most veteran pickups behind when they come in. If you're going to pick them up, they've got to get used. You know, most, you know, a lot of times the concepts are the same in this league, which they are. The concepts are pretty uniform throughout the league. Vocabulary is huge, because vocabulary, being able to process what you mean, what you want, that's what takes a little bit of time to learn. He had it down when he came in because he had been with Dean Pease before, so it was an immediate slot fit, and then he can do what he does, and now working into playing with a new group of players, you can get, you know, even more out of him. But I think it was an excellent pickup, and not because I think, just because of what you said. And look, 16 snaps, that's 16 snaps off somebody else's legs. And that accumulation effect is huge in the National Football League, especially guys this. The way offenses are spread out, I mean, during 2 weeks, I think this is the highest offensive output throughout the league, you know, that we've seen. Passing yards, scoring, I mean, the league, that's what it is. And so on your defensive players, you're going to have to be able to roll waves of players to be able to put up with the way this game has expanded so much horizontally. And it's a different league. You know, it's different on you when you're a guy, big guy down front, rushing all the time, than it is when you're playing the run consistently.
So Cruikshank, I think, started off as a gunner before he got hurt. And then he was replaced by Jennings. And it was Jennings and Sims who seemed to be pretty good at it. So when I saw Cruikshank out there, maybe I missed this against Miami, but I thought it was still Jennings and Sims. So when I saw Cruikshanks out there, I thought maybe that should have been a more of an alert to Houston, because it was the first punt of the game. He seems to have taken that job back. Tell us about Sims and Dane in those roles that maybe don't get the hype they deserve.
You know what, Paul? And that's a great point, and it's probably something that when you watch during training camp, that's the way Cruikshank was going to contribute immediately as a gunner. Because he's the perfect gunner that you need. The best gunner I've ever been around, and again, you didn't ask me this, but I'm going to tell you. Wow. The best gunner that I've ever been around from a first-year player, okay, coming in, was Neil Anderson, the Bears. When we took him number one, the running back from Florida, great, great player. But we still had Walter Payton, so he wasn't going to play very much. So we put him at gunner. Now, and here's what you got to have as a gunner. You got to have strength. And you've got to have speed, and you've got to be able to outrun somebody that gets on your back. And that's what's, and this guy can do it. This guy's got size. He's got speed. He knows how to stack people on his back. I mean, that's the way he was going to contribute immediately before he got hurt. And he got hurt making a good play as a gunner to begin with. And so, Hey, I sent that he was AFC Special Teams Player of the Week to Chuck Cecil yesterday, and he sent me back like he was a proud father. He was so happy.
Well, he likes to hit like Chuck likes to hit.
No, nobody hit like Chuck hit. You can't anymore. You wouldn't be playing.
Well, I'm just basing off what Chuck told us.
You would have no money. You would.
He said Cruikshank loved contact in college.
No, he loves contact, but I'm saying you can't hit like Chuck Cecil hit anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
no.
Chuck
Cecil. Or Clay Matthews. How about that?
That's so wrong. That is so wrong. And again, as I said, when I was a coach, I couldn't say this. That is so wrong. That was malpractice officiating on that call on Matthews. We don't care about the Packers, you know, but I care about that call.
Well, then they came out and said the call was correct.
Well, and guess what? It wasn't.
I completely agree. That's not football.
You also have Aaron Rodgers saying it's not football now. A quarterback. Saying some of it's good, and he said some of it's getting out of control.
Joe Flacco came out and said he didn't like seeing these guys punished for the hits. He signed up to get hit, and that it's not fair. And, I mean, I understand the league doesn't want quarterbacks falling out, but it's gone too far the other way.
I agree. I agree with all three of you. I agree with Clay Matthews. I agree with everybody.
Tennessee, Florida this week.
Okay.
You've watched the Vols throughout the year.
I've watched Florida, too.
So let's start with Tennessee on this. Defensively. Have you seen a group that's now starting to understand more of what Jeremy Pruitt wants from his defense, even against some poor competition?
Well, two things that I've seen. First of all, I've seen that, Chad, but I've also seen Jeremy Pruitt start to really understand the type of defense that he wants to run and then how he's going to have to form fit that until he gets exactly the type of players he wants to run that. To be able to run that defense, you know, that he's always run, you need guys in the back end that can lock you down. You know, because of the things that things they're going to do up front. They've got a young secondary, a really young secondary. They've got some guys athletically that can do it, but they're still not playing together as a unit. Now, what I have seen through the three ball games, and again, watch them very closely, because, you know, with Doug Matthews, when we do coach to coach, that's what we do. And I watch this thing very, very closely. They are getting more comfortable within that system. They are getting more comfortable. And that's a big difference, too. You know, especially if you're a young player, a freshman player, or even a young player, that not only are you learning how to play at a Southeast Conference level, you're learning how to play an entirely new scheme. It's going to take you a while to figure that out. I can see him playing faster right now because they're getting closer to that. It's not where he wants it, but it's getting closer.
What's been the biggest issue with Tennessee's offensive line that you've seen so far?
They haven't been together. I mean, they weren't together in spring. They weren't together in the spring, you know. So, you know that, and for an offensive line to work together, I'm not telling you guys or our listeners anything you don't know. And this is not coach speak. This is true. That unit has to be more cohesive than any unit on the field. I mean, because everything that you do, just like the chop block that you saw, you know, in the ball game. Well, that came because of a miscommunication between the guard and the tackle. You know, the guard never should have posted that player up. If the guard doesn't post that player up, then that's not a chop block. And so there's a lot of things that go into working together as an offensive line that you have to be together. This group has not only had new players come in, they've had players hurt that they've had to replace, and they have to juggle it and move it around. That's not easy. That's not easy at all. They are still trying to do that.
From what you've seen from Florida, from a Tennessee perspective, what concerns you the most with what Florida can do, lining up with what Tennessee maybe doesn't do as well?
Well, here's you know, first of all, they're going to try to go after. They're going to, you know, regardless of what the Florida's quarterback is, they're going to try to throw the football on them. You know, they're going to try to throw the football on them, and that's something that you've got to get under control, because look, if the ball goes over your head, then the other 10 players can't play. So that's the first thing that you've got to do. You've got to keep everything in front of you, all right? And so that to me would be the number one thing. Now, watching Florida play, I feel good about Tennessee in this ball game, Chad, and I know that makes you happy.
It does,
but
makes a lot of our listeners happy.
Well,
too.
But no, but I honestly do, because you know I watched this. You know, I really firmly believe, and we talked about the offensive line, but I really like the backs that that Tennessee has, and with Chandler being healthy and got that speed factor, plus they can run the football on this group, which is going to be huge.
What about Jared Garantano? It seems like he hasn't been asked to do a ton, but what he's been asked to do, he's done very well. He's completing almost 75% of his passes far this year.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Chad, but I did.
Interrupt away. Whenever you want to interrupt me, go right ahead.
Here's the deal. Here's what impressed me about Garantano. He is taking over the leadership of that offense and really of that team. And what I like to do, and I'm a big body language guy, you know, watching guys play and stuff. Even not only on the field is he beginning to be a field general with these guys, on the sideline too. I mean, he's taking ownership of that. And here's the other thing that I like, and I promise you, it doesn't matter that Coach Mack sitting here in Nashville likes this, but those players in that locker room, what they like, this dude's tough. This dude is a tough individual, and you can, and that makes a big, big difference. I like what I've seen out of Garantano, and again, I mean, Keller Crist, I've known Keller Crist since he was 3 years old, all right? I mean, I've known that. I mean, they bring him in here, you know, to challenge for the quarterback spot. Garantano is the quarterback of this football team, and what I like, what impresses me more than anything in these first three ball games that I've looked at him, he's taking ownership of that position.
I don't think Crist has been bad when he's checked in either. He's been fine.
No.
The limited time he's had to play.
He's fine, but Garantano's the quarterback of this team.
Let's wrap up with Titans, Jack. Give us some keys to watch on Sunday for how the Titans win.
Titans cannot let this defensive front control this game. You can't, and you can't. The Titans' defense have got to match Jacksonville's defense. All right. A lot of times, you know, we would go into ball games when I was coaching saying, look, we've got to be the best, you know, knowing the strengths of the teams, we've got to be the best defense on the field today. That has to happen, first of all, in this ball game. It has to happen. The Titans have to find ways to run the football against Jacksonville. The Titans also have to find a way to make first and second down their friend, because third and pass in Jacksonville's mind, Jacksonville has a big, big advantage there, because they've got people that can bring it and they got people that can lock down and cover hard. You want to talk? So there's your keys. You got to be able to run it against them. You got to make first and second downs your friend, as the Titans offense do. And then Titans defense has got to outplay Jacksonville's defense no matter what that takes.
See you Saturday. Let's get down to Jacksonville.
Let's go, Jonathan. I can't wait.
Time to bang some hats. The time is here.
Bang some hats.
There we go.